So we've been in the Gospel of Luke for a while now this summer. What we have here is a sort of weird grouping of text that we were assigned with today. Verses 32 through 40, it deals with a lot of different things. The start text, verse 32, is actually kind of a bridge verse between what happens before that, beginning in verse 22, and then what comes after that in verse 33 and 34. Seems to be its own thing before verses 35 through 40, then talk about being ready. So we kind of have three different things going on here. We have the talk about anxieties, which begins in verse 22, and we saw just a little bit of that in verse 32. Then possessions, things, in verse 33 and 34. And then finally, to be ready when the Son of Man comes at the end times. Now, certainly these can be interrelated. We get anxious keeping things or trying to hang on to the things we have, be it possessions or status. And we also get anxious when we don't have enough things and we don't have enough of what we need or we don't think we have enough. So it goes both directions. Jesus gives a simple remedy, just says simply, sell your things, help the poor, basically. Sell your possessions, what you don't need, give alms to the poor. Okay? And then in doing so, you are doing the things that make you prepared for what Jesus is talking about in the second part of this story. And it also builds up your treasures in heaven, the correct place, Jesus says, doing what you should be doing. So there's twofold. It's a twofold thing of what you're doing. So once again, as we've had for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we have a few short verses of Jesus' teaching. There's so much to unpack, though. We won't be able to take it all in today. What I find most intriguing, or what stuck out for me this week, was verse 34. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It says so much in that one sentence, separated by just one comma. Where you spend your time, what do you spend your excess resources on? This says a lot about who you are, what's important to you. So we're going to spend time on this and unpack this as the preacher's prerogative from our verses today. But that doesn't mean you can't look up all of this later on in the 12th chapter of Luke. It's a good follow-up as well to our topic last week when we talked about possessions and the accumulation of greed in our hearts. Being a Christian opens up an awareness of the spiritual dimensions of life. At least that's the idea. At least that's our hope. That's God's hope for us. This Christian lifestyle forces into us a new perspective, a new way of looking at the world, like putting on a new set of glasses, that new prescription. When you get back home from the doctor and you put those glasses on, you have to sort of adjust to things that first day, right? Things are clearer. You notice things better. Even so, we might still, even though we're Christians, still get obsessed about things. The things that aren't so important, don't we? Money, possessions, the lack of, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay our bills? It could be our status, our jobs, our image, whatever it is. We can get obsessed with things that Jesus says last week and this week are not so important. If this is at all you, Consider how much energy and attention you have given to family and friends, the most important people in your lives, this week. When I was looking at this verse, I felt convicted. I felt I needed to reach out to a few people that I hadn't heard from in several weeks, check in with them, give them a call, stop by even, pay them a visit if it's been a few days, just to see how they're doing. This is what's important in life, one of the things at least. You've heard the phrase, follow your heart, right? We've all heard that. How many of us have been told that? Even as a young person, maybe, follow your heart, right? When you're getting ready to graduate high school or college, follow your heart. We're told if we do this, we'll be happy, we'll have a full life, a fulfilled life, we'll enjoy life. But is this really so? By following our hearts. Is this true all the time? I question that. How many people out there, or how many people have you known that have had this as the mantra of their life? Follow their hearts. Only to be led adrift, to be led astray by one relationship or another, from one job to another, from one pursuit to the next, leads me to wonder, can we always trust our hearts? Reminds me of what we read in Ecclesiastes about vanities. It's all just vanities, as this wise person who wrote this looks back on his life and wonders why he spent all this time on little stuff. Henry Nouwen, a great contemplative Catholic, has written a great many books. One of his more recent books in the last few years, and I referenced this before a few years ago, it's entitled Finding Meaning in the Second Half of Life. And it's a really good read for anyone, no matter what half of life you're at. He explains that what often happens to people, naturally happens to people, is when they are young, they work on themselves. And this is kind of built into our society. We kind of expect that of people. When you're young, in your teens and in your 20s and even in your 30s, you focus on finding your zone, establishing yourself, career, finding a mate. And then you might have children and your world expands just a little bit, but it doesn't branch out a lot. It remains pretty contained usually. And this is a bit natural, he explains. After all, how many of us have done the very same thing, worked on ourselves in this first half of life? We're sort of predisposed to do this as young people. But in the second half of life, as we experience the empty nest, as we look at retirement, we start to wonder to ourselves, what else is there about life that makes it meaningful, that makes it fulfilled? And we start to wonder to ourselves. We search, maybe again, many of us search for meaning again. We sometimes make choices that are healthy. Sometimes, maybe we don't make all the right choices. Maybe it takes us even more time to mature, to become wise as to what is important in this life. We start to think about what we can do to make the world a better place, maybe. To work towards peace, to work towards justice in our world. Maybe in the second half of lives, that's when we start to look at our spiritual development more, start digging deeper, if we dare to do so. But why wait to any artificial age or time of life? Why not start? Why not start now? Why not start today, this week? Why not start the turnaround? Ask ourselves, what controls us? What wags the dog? What social conventions are held over us? What expectations are keeping us in chains? What perceived pressures do we have on our souls? Is it things like last week? Remember how we talked about how our things cloud our judgment, and pretty soon our things, our possessions own us? Is it materialism? Is it our jobs? Is it what we do to earn a paycheck? Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it a thing? Is it a hobby that we do that we are obsessed with? Followers of Jesus, I read this week, quote, should be the freest people on earth. And I liked that. I underlined it. We as disciples should be the freest people on earth, free from all this nonsense, all this pressure, free to be more generous to others. The lives of the children of God, us as the people of God, should be devoted to higher things, to spiritual things, to deeper matters. That's what Jesus is calling us to do, to center our lives on promoting concerns related to the spreading of God's kingdom. Being generous, being more loving, being open, being extravagant people with our love. Because God has made extravagant promises to us. God has said, if you do this, if you're willing to do this, if you're willing to even try and do this, to go down this path, that you will be blessed, that you will have a blessed life in service to my cause. That's what Jesus says. So, the question today is, what changes would we make if we were as concerned about God's kingdom, about peace, about love, then we are, as we are, the size of our paychecks? How the harvest was doing? I know that it wasn't a very good year. What the next step in our lives are? When should we move? When should we look at that next career step? How would our lives be different if they were governed by these things? Would we work more on mending relationships, sharing radical hospitality to people, working for peace in our lives, working for a just society? Would we be about these things? Would we care more about God and what God cares about than we do about our church building? Would we care more about people, people who are here, then about the offering size? Not that that isn't important. Where's our hearts? Where are our hearts today? On the greater things or on the lesser? Let us pray to God. Holy One, realign us today. Turn us back to you. Help us to see the things that you're trying to get us to notice about ourselves, about our families, about our work lives. Readjust our priorities. Help us to look to people more as they are a source of who we are and what makes life meaningful and special. Help us to look to enjoy the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Help us to look to share the blessings more with those who need it desperately. Help us as a church, as we look at what's in our future, our immediate future, our future in terms of months and years as well. Be with us all throughout the week. Remind us that our discipleship walk does not end at the benediction today. Be in our hearts. Help us to build the things of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.